brethren of the Kasanga congregation in Tanzania, who I was with last Sunday morning, wanted me to make sure that I let you know that they send you greetings. You know, I knew things were going to be all right my first time working with a translator when the guy that was doing my translating showed up and he was playing Jeff Foxworthy in his car, talking about how he was good with translating rednecks. I said, well, you got the right guy. I also found out that I not only struggle with English, but I struggle with Swahili too. The word karibu is welcome. It's spelled just like caribou, but that's an animal. And if you say caribou, you're calling them an animal. So you don't want to do that. So I found that out kind of the hard way. So I do. Jenny has always told me, you know, I said, maybe I should learn another language. She said, no, you still need to work on English. And then, you know, you can think about a second language. You haven't even got a first one yet. And so I guess I'll stick with that. It is so wonderful to be back here. It's so wonderful to be back with you. I feel like this year, I've said that so many times. For some reason, this year has just been one of those years where for some reason I've been gone on Sundays more than I ever have before. And I hope that next year I don't miss a single Sunday compared to this year. In Psalm 23, a shepherd king named David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You know, David writes from the point of view of the sheep. He writes in the point of view of being a sheep in a flock that is guided by a good shepherd. The shepherd nourished the flock with food and water. And through these provisions, he gave the flock strength and he gave them restoration from their weakness. There are certain things that a sheep must do, though, for the efforts of such a shepherd to have any effect whatsoever. For the efforts of the shepherd to accomplish anything, the sheep must follow. A sheep that will not follow cannot benefit from a good shepherd. Cannot benefit from what the shepherd would provide to them. The sheep must also eat, and it must drink the food and the water that the shepherd provides if it expects to receive the sustenance and the strength that will come from such things. In John chapter 10, Jesus calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And Jesus then gave the qualities of the good shepherd. He says, the sheep know His voice. See, He understood that the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. They will not follow just anyone. No one can just walk up and say, come on, sheep, and those sheep follow Him. They only follow the voice of the shepherd. They recognize His voice. They know His voice. My dog knows the difference between my voice and some stranger's voice. She can go to yapping like she does as a little dog who thinks she weighs 90 pounds. She can go to yapping at the door, and I can go, it's me, Maya, and she knows exactly who it is. Now, if one of you said that, she'd just keep on yapping because she would not recognize your voice. As the Lord's sheep, Christians listen only to the Good Shepherd. We listen only to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we do not recognize, nor do we follow anything else. The shepherd also knows his sheep by name, Jesus says in John 10. We are not just nameless people in the mass of humanity to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our God and Father in heaven. We are the bride of Christ. We are the children of God. We have a special and unique relationship with Him. We have the value of God knowing us, each individual, personally. You know, in the United States, I'm just a Social Security number is all I am. But with God, I am His Son. Verse 14, Jesus said, I know my own and my own know me. See, we know Him, He knows us. It's a relationship. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17, the Lord knows those who are His. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, but if anyone loves God, he is known by Him. I find it amazing that the God that created the universe by speaking it into existence has the time or even the desire to know me. But He does. He knows our needs and even the number of the hairs on our heads. So that's the great thing about this relationship and the knowledge that He has of me. He knows me so well, so intimately, that He knows better what I need than I know how to ask Him for it. That's a relationship that I have with no one else except God. I am close to Jeannie. And we know each other very well. And we can finish our sentences and we can just about almost start the same subject at the same time. But Jeannie doesn't know me like God knows me. And it doesn't matter how long you've been married, whether it's 10 years, 60 years. Your spouse still doesn't know you like God knows you. And that intimate knowledge that He has of you. He knows your name. And you know Him. He knows your every thought, your every need, your every fear, and your every desire. The shepherd also leads the sheep where they are to go, Jesus says in John 10. Jesus said that He was the way for all to follow. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. If you want to get to God the Father, you have to follow the good shepherd. You have to follow Jesus Christ. You have to know His voice and listen to Him so that someone else doesn't take you somewhere else. You want to get to the Father, and He is the only way. He leads us by the life that He lived as a pattern for our lives and by the Word that He teaches us. And also, the shepherd protects the sheep, and He is even willing to lay down His life for them. No one else will do that except the good shepherd. The hireling, Jesus said, will run away at the sign of danger. The person who doesn't care, the person who's just doing it because it's a job. But the person who cares and loves the sheep, he will lay down his life. And Jesus did exactly that for you and me, that we might be in His flock. He laid down His life to protect us from the consequences of our sins, from the consequences of our bad choices. He died to wash those away. You know, this is the description of a good shepherd that Jesus demonstrates in His life in perfection. Peter calls Jesus Christ the chief shepherd who will reward faithful elders in the end in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, blame it on jet lag, or just blame it on me, being me. But I gave Julie the wrong lesson title today. This is not the lesson on qualifications. This is the lesson on our responsibility as the flock to the shepherd, to the shepherds that we have over us. 2 weeks ago, we examined what it takes to properly fulfill the role or the office of elder. And we saw what Jesus' idea of leadership was. And those are very important things for us to understand. And certainly for the man that would be considering becoming an elder, would be desiring the office, those things must needs be taken into consideration. Today I want us to see how we as sheep are to follow the shepherds that God has appointed over us. It is important that we understand that we as a congregation do not make men elders. God does. God appoints those men elders. Not you and I. Not anyone else. God does. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Not the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus didn't make them overseers. The Holy Spirit made them overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Jesus Christ paid an incredible price for His church. He suffered and He died. And you better believe that He's going to choose the men that He wants to be shepherds over that flock. And the Holy Spirit does just that. This point is important because we see many congregations today voting for elders and reaffirming elders every few years. And this puts the power of leadership in the hands of the congregation, and it does not belong there. The power in the Lord's church belongs in its head, Jesus Christ, and those that He chooses by His Word to lead. The danger of such actions, such as voting and reaffirming, is clear and has been demonstrated in congregations all around. Such power over the eldership enables liberal and unscriptural elements to eliminate sound and strong elders and to replace them with men that are not bound to the authority of God's holy word. I have seen that happen. I have seen congregations with good, sound men holding to the truth, and just enough people were able to get rid of them and replace them with worthless men who took those churches away from Jesus Christ. That is why the power should not lie within us. Because we are not even able to guide our own steps, much less decide those kind of things. God's Word decides those things. The importance of this is that while a congregation may put forth men for biblical consideration, they do not put these men in the office. God does that, and God alone. As a result, these men function with authority which is derived from God and Scripture. Not from you and me. We live in the nation of the people, by the people, for the people, right? The power of the United States government is supposed to come from the people. That is not the church. That is the United States of America. And while we love those principles, that is not the principles that God laid forth in His Word. And I believe His way is always best. As a result, these men function with that authority from God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Writer of Hebrews says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." I understand that as a preacher of God's Word, I'm going to be held by God to a higher degree of responsibility. The words that I speak, the things that I teach, the things that I do, the responsibilities that I fulfill as a gospel preacher, God's going to hold me to account for those. And I better live up to them. Because God is an exacting judge. But elders are held to an even higher standard by God. And they will be held accountable by God for their decisions, for their actions, for all that takes place within the flock that they shepherd. And that is a high responsibility that they have to take very seriously. God appointed them, and they will answer to Him one day for their actions. And the God-ordained authority requires that we as children of God obey and submit to them. See, we need to understand that they answer to God. They do not answer to you, and they do not answer to me. They answer to God. Because, see, you and I will never know everything that they necessarily know. We will never understand the bigger picture of what's going on in the congregation with people that are sitting around you that you don't know what's going on in their lives, but those men do. They understand places where the congregation may be struggling that you may not see. And that's why they don't answer to you or me. See, God sees all those things. He knows all those things. And that's why He is the one they answer to. He is their leaders. They are His leaders. He has chosen them. He has put them in place. And He will hold them accountable. And He will do so justly. I have seen people try to hold elderships accountable to them. And it has rarely been a just act. And we need to be careful in how we deal with God's appointed, lest we ourselves find ourselves in opposition to God. You know, it does not matter if you think what the elders, if you think that the elders are right about some issue or wrong. It does not matter if you think you know better. does not matter if you disagree in any way. Regardless of what one thinks about the elders in past, present, or future, you must submit to their authority in order to be right before God. The only exception to this rule is if they ask you to do something that is a clear violation of scriptural authority, and that's it. That's the only exception that I can find in my Bible. Just because you do not agree does not mean you are right. And like I said, tread carefully. And if you're going to disagree, you better make sure you're right. Gamaliel had it right when he said that there are times when you'll just find yourself fighting against God. And you don't want to find yourself there. These men are God's leaders. Think about David for just a moment. As David pursued Saul, Saul pursued David. I get that backwards right there. As Saul pursued David, and he went into that cave, and David was in the cave too, and David had the chance to kill him. And another time, David snuck into the tent of Saul in the very middle of his camp with a servant named Abishai, and they were right there, and Abishai said, "I'm going to kill him." And David said, "It is not our place to take the life of God's anointed." Now, David was already anointed to be king. David understood that Saul was God's anointed as long as God allowed Saul to remain in that position. And when God wanted his anointed removed, God would remove him. And God did. But it was not David's place to remove the anointed of God. And these men that occupy the office of elder, they are men appointed by God. And we need to tread carefully in how we show them, in that we show them respect for the job that they do for us. Sometimes people usurp the authority of the elders. Sometimes they do so in very subtle ways. It's not, "I don't care what you say, I ain't going to do it." It ain't that usually. I've seen very few of those. I've seen that, but not very often. Someone may feel that the elders are not acting on some particular issue the way that they think they should. So what they do is they just bypass the elders and do what they wanted on their own within the congregation, soliciting individual members to help them do what they had wanted to do that the elders had said that they weren't going to do. And it is wrong to ignore and to bypass the shepherds of a congregation, to take the sheep and do as you please. The sheep are to be under the guidance of the shepherds. Whether you agree with what they did or what they... even what a person may want to do may be a good thing. But it still should be done in the right way. It is never right to do wrong. I don't care how good what you're doing is. To do that which is in violation of God's will is still wrong. I knew a lady one time who did not like what the elders were spending the Lord's money on. It wasn't like they were spending it on beach vacations or anything like that. She just didn't like the mission works that they weren't. It wasn't her mission work, so she didn't like what they were spending the money, Lord's money on. So she just stopped giving her money on Sunday, and decided that she'd just send the money she'd normally give at church to her mission works of preference. And so she's supporting the Lord's work, is the way that she would put it. And it's great to support mission works. But it's not okay to stop giving up on the first day of the week because you disagree with the way the money is allocated by the elders. Such actions are efforts, once again, to bypass the elders in order to do what you think should be done. You know, it's the Lord's money. I've seen people that have taken their money to make a point to the elders and not given. What point are you making? "Lord, I'm not going to give you any more of my money because I don't like these guys over here." You understand the absurdity of that? You give to the Lord, not to elders. And, you know, so our giving should be reflective of the Lord's efforts, not the elders' efforts, or the preacher's efforts, or deacon's efforts, or anybody else's efforts, whoever you want to put in that slot. You give because of the Lord, not because of anything else. You know, we as members are to submit to the elders. We need to understand that they have wisdom by virtue of their qualifications. Those qualifications that we will look at and we will study in the weeks to come. By virtue of those qualifications, they have wisdom. They also tend to know many things, as I mentioned before, that you and I do not know. Therefore, we trust that they are doing the best with that knowledge and wisdom that they possess. I mentioned earlier about what a shepherd does, and I also mentioned that a sheep had to go along for those efforts to mean anything. I want us to go back and look at those again. Number one, shepherds lead the flock. Elders do this by showing the flock godliness in the lives that they live. The qualifications are qualifications of a godly man. Ultimately, a man that has given himself to those qualities that a Christian should possess. They determine what the congregation needs spiritually, and they make decisions that move it in a direction closer to God. In order for the congregation to move in the ways of godliness, they must follow this direction. If everybody just decides to go their own way, we're a flock going in all different directions. We're called to be unified. Unified under the leadership that God provides. The congregation may not understand all the reasons why the elders are doing certain things, but they still have the responsibility to follow that leadership. Sheep are stupid animals. Let's just call it. I've talked to shepherds. I had a man in Oklahoma who kept sheep, and he went on and on about how stupid his sheep were. Sheep do not understand why the shepherd's leading them here or why the shepherd's leading them there always. But they follow because they trust in Him. So in order for us to move in the directions that we need to move, we need to follow those that are trying to get us closer to God. Shepherds also feed and nourish the flock. They do this through biblical teaching of the congregation. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. The shepherd calls for the sheep to come and eat. But some sheep go, "That's all right. I don't need a meal today. I don't need to eat today. I'm not hungry." Elders make the decision and have made the decision, at least here in this congregation and other congregations as well, and other congregations can make, the elders make their own decisions in regards to these things, that we need to study God's Word at Bible class on Sunday morning. We need to partake of spiritual food at that time. Next year I will talk about the value of Bible class in a lesson. And I will tell you statistics, parents, that will scare you to death if you don't bring your children to Bible class. They have decided that it would be good for us to worship God and to study once again from God's Word and to remember, sing praises to God on Sunday evenings. It'd be a good time to come and to feed more upon God's Word from the bread that's come down from heaven, from the living water. The shepherds have decided that it's a good thing on Wednesday night for the family, for the flock to come together to once again be nourished by God's Word. And yet, many sheep ignore the shepherds. Why do I have to go? You don't need God's Word. You know all you need to know. I got other things to do more important than Jesus Christ. I'm tired. So was He as He walked to Calvary. I'm sorry, excuses just don't hold up under the scrutiny of Jesus Christ. We're not asking you, the elders do not ask you to come on Wednesday or Sunday night or for Bible class on Sunday morning because they just want to drag you out of your home again. They do it that we might get stronger. That as Hebrews 10 says, we might encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And that day of judgment is most assuredly approaching. And we need every opportunity to be strong that we can get. Why you wouldn't want to come and partake of the nourishment provided from God's Word is beyond me. But it's something you need to consider. Because to ignore those things is to be rebellious sheep that refuse to go where the shepherds lead. The elders deem that these times are needed for us And we are to, as Hebrews 13:17, and there is no ambiguity to this, to obey those that have the rule over us. So we have to decide whether what kind of sheep we're going to be and whether we're going to follow the shepherds that God has put over us. It is good for members to listen and adhere to what the elders say to do. It is good for your spiritual strength, and it is good because it is being obedient to God's ordained authority. Sheep cannot grow unless they are willing to partake of the nourishment provided by the shepherds. Shepherds also care for the flock by helping them with their weaknesses and the spiritual sickness. And they must be willing to follow the shepherds, though, when the shepherds give them advice. I have seen people come with a problem, and the elders tell them, or, you know, elders and myself or whoever will tell a person, this is what you need to do, and it's a proven thing you need to do. I don't need to do that. I don't need to listen to that. That ain't what I want. I want something else. I want something easier, usually, is what it is. Because let me tell you what, living the Christian life and a life of self-control and a life given to God is hard. And if you're looking for it easy, you're looking in the wrong place. You know, it's like going to the doctor, isn't it? And he says, here, you need to take this medicine. I ain't going to take that. Well, then you ain't going to get well. You know, when people will not listen to spiritual advice from the shepherds who have lived this life, lived the Christian life for many years and have wisdom because of that, then they won't get well either. Because they will not listen to those that are trying to lead them. Elders are there to lead people as well through valleys of deep darkness. Sometimes these times of weakness are these valleys of deep darkness. Your translation may say in Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death, but really the translation is valley of deep darkness. And we go through those in our lives, spiritually sometimes, and sometimes just as a result of life, things happening in life, it's very difficult. And they are to be there, and we are to let them lead us through those valleys, that we might find restoration on the other side. Because see, in the Old Testament, when David led his sheep, they would come up on these very narrow ravines that only if the sunlight was directly overhead was there any light in them. That's what this is about, dark valleys. And the sheep would never go in those ravines on their own. But they will follow a good shepherd. Because his rod and his staff, they are comforted by it. The predators inside, they will be protected. So we need to follow them and listen to the advice that they have to give in our lives. And last of all, they protect the flock. Just mentioned the rod and the staff. Those are the instruments of protection of the shepherd. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 28 through 32, the Apostle Paul, again to the elders at Ephesus, we read a portion of this a while ago, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Be on the alert. Watch out for the wolves that will come in amongst you. And they will try to take the sheep away. They will try to kill the sheep. And it is the shepherd's job to prevent that. Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, after talking about the qualifications of an elder, he tells Titus, holding fast the faith, these men are to holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those that contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Empty talkers. People just causing trouble in the Lord's church. And elders are to deal with that. They are to deal with those that contradict what the Holy Scriptures have to say. They have to execute church discipline at time in order to protect the church, to remove the leaven so that the leaven does not spread throughout the whole lump, as Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And those are hard things to do. Those are hard decisions to make. And so oftentimes, we make that decision even harder by being in opposition to them in regards to these things. There are unrepentant and rebellious sinners that must be dealt with to protect the flock. They are wolves. And they are seeking to take the sheep. There are false teachers within the Lord's church. I have dealt with those over the past 20 years more times than I like to even think about. But they are the wolves in sheep's clothing. In Matthew chapter 7, that Jesus talked about, they look like a sheep, but they got a zipper. Right? They got a zipper because they're wearing a suit. They're a wolf. I have never met a false teacher that wasn't a friendly guy. They are the nicest people. They'll laugh and they'll joke and they'll just, you just get to like them. I mean, they are easy to like. They're easy to be around. Their personalities are great. That has nothing to do with it. Not judging them by how pretty their tree is. Judging them by the fruit that grows off of it. And so many times I've seen elders try to deal with false teachers, but he's a nice guy. Doesn't matter. It's not about whether he's a nice guy. It's about what he is trying to get people to believe that's wrong. Paul said, if anyone teaches you anything other than what I have taught you, you let him be accursed. It doesn't matter. Paul didn't say unless they're nice. Then, you know, cut them some slack. It's not what he says. Folks, we've accommodated false teachers too much in the church already. And we need to support elders. We need to support shepherds. We need to stand behind them when they stand up against them. That their jobs, as Hebrews 13 says, might be easy. And that's good for us. That's good for the church. That's good for every sheep in the flock. May we be God's people who follow God's appointed leaders. Why? Because Hebrews 13:17 says that such subjection is profitable and beneficial for our lives. It is profitable and beneficial for the elders' work. And it is profitable and beneficial for the congregation as a whole. These men have a great responsibility. And they will answer. They will stand before God. And the book of their actions will be opened. And they will have to give an account one day. We need to stay out of God's place lest we find ourselves fighting against God. I promise you that if God can remove godless leaders from powerful nations, He can remove elders as well. I believe that. And to believe anything else is to not trust God, not believe in His power and in His providence. May we always, as the flock, trust God and His leaders as they live and serve according to His will. I will tell you this morning, and I told you a couple of weeks ago that I've worked with some 20 elders over the last 20 years. And I've known even more elders than that. But we have great elders here. And there is absolutely no biblical reason why they should be opposed, why they should not be followed. Because they look out for your souls and they do care for your souls. They do care about the souls of this congregation and they endeavor and work very hard to try to see that everyone here gets to heaven. And we should be thankful to God every day for them. To not support them, to not follow the shepherds that God has put over us, is tantamount to rebellion, to straying, to sin. May that never be. This morning, We have shepherds that guide us here in this congregation, but they are under a chief shepherd, as Peter put it, 1 Peter chapter 5. Chief shepherd who will reward them one day if they have served as the shepherds that he has called them to be. That same chief shepherd wants to reward you one day as well for living for him, for following him, knowing his voice, going where he leads. Knowing that you say in your life, as David said in him, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will follow him wherever he goes. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you're not in that flock. You're not in the flock that Jesus Christ is leading to the Father. You can become a part of that flock. He is the door, he also says in John chapter 10. No sheep gets in or out without him opening the door. And he has the door. And that door can be opened to you this morning by obedience to his will. By believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And being buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life as a sheep in the flock of God. Following the good shepherd wherever he may lead. This morning, if you're a sheep and maybe you have strayed away, we're looking for you. The chief shepherd's looking for you. The Father's looking for you. Won't you come home as we stand and as we sing?